Eric, I like your hat.
Oh my God. Thank you for saying something. Look at this hat. Do you see
it? I love it.
I love it.
It has an idiot runner on it. It probably says smart enough to know how dumb this is.
Yeah. There you go.
Oh, I love that. And
it's actually really nice. So thanks for saying something about it. I'll tell you about it since you didn't ask, but I'm going to anyway.
Mm-hmm.
This is a leather patch hat company that I saw on the lines. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, that looks pretty cool. And you can, custom make whatever you want. It's a merino wool hat.
Ooh.
And obviously I got the runner dude with We're Smart Enough to Know How Dumb This Is. And it's, I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's nice to have some hats that are a little less, I've got some hats that are just fun and outrageous. Like they're ridiculous colors, like my bright orange idiot runner hat. I love because it's going to help keep me safe in hunting season. But I don't necessarily want to wear that like all day, but I want to wear an idiot runner hat. So I like that one. Cause it's a little like, it's a little more business. I really like that one. Although, I'm starting to transition. It is a winter hat and I think there's still time for that throughout the rest of this month.
Wait for it. Wait.
Okay.
For it.
Oh, look at that. The cap. I like that one.
Richardson, mesh.
Yeah.
Teddy. Yeah.
So if you're listening on the podcast and you're not watching live, Eric has a very nice wool merino beanie cap that I love. He also has a mesh running cap that will be great for summertime. They both look very cool. I like them.
So kind of going on what you were saying though, like I have a ton of running hats, I have a ton of buffs, I have a ton of knit hats, but I wanted these two for like when I have to dress up and look all cute, like not running. Like if
you
I'm,
always look cute, Eric.
Well, I need help sometimes. But anyway, like this is my nice like going out hat.
Yes.
And this is my nice, like, if I'm not running, I'm going to volunteer or going to try to sell merchandise. This is that hat, like not one I'm going to sweat in. You know what I mean?
That's right. You got to have multiples. You got to have multiple race hats because sometimes you got to change your hat during a race. You got to have your pre-race hat, your post-race hat, and you got to have your nice going out hat. And you have your summer hats and your winter hats.
Right.
Now I've not fully switched over to my summer hats, but I have switched over to shorts and I wore one of my summer hats tonight because, I was curious when you do the switch and then you wore your winter hat today. So you're still in winter hat season.
Well, we got to get started with this show at some point. Can you tell me to turn it down a little bit? But I have been running a fever for like the past 4 or 5 days.
No.
So like I constantly feel cold. So this hat feels really nice and comfy on my bald head.
Oh.
So that's why I have it on. It's not summer out yet. It's actually like kind of finished, but I love this hat. I just got it today and I put it on. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is my new favorite beanie.
It's a great beanie.
But anywho, yeah. So that's where we're at there. Yeah. I like them. All right. Let me straighten that up.
Okay.
We're in March now. Let's get back to the show here. We are in March. Hopefully the weather's starting to break and we can get out and play in springtime weather. Mm-hmm. And we're at show 105. So do you want to, we should probably go ahead and get going since we're 4 minutes in, huh?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. The Grace, listen up. It's finally March, Grace, and I'm hoping spring starts to come alive. So let's talk about warmer weather on episode 105. I'm Eric Idiot Runner Kosek.
And I'm Grace Hot Pants Langheim. Eric is all business in the front of the pack, and I am all about the party in the back.
That's right, business up front and party in the back. Together, we are the Running Mullet.
And we are going to talk about every aspect of running, the podium to the DNF and everything in between.
If you are a runner, this show is for you. Now sit back, get out your foam roller, and enjoy the party.
Yeah, so anyway, I've been infected with some plague for tomorrow will be a full week. Not cool.
Yeah, that sucks.
But hopefully it's getting better. It's kind of in my head. My nose is leaking. I have a cough now. So I don't know. Enough. It's just stupid.
It is stupid. Guess what's not stupid? My hat. You didn't ask me about my hat.
Why'd you face it the other way? Maybe if you faced it towards me, I'd ask you.
You can see my, I face it backwards so you can see my beautiful face.
Oh, okay. I see that now. What do you got there? Ski.
Yeah, it says Shawnee Mountain 5K.
Cool. Is that the snowshoe race you did?
I did. I did a snowshoe race. I did a snowshoe race yesterday.
Cool. Did you, where were you at in the mullet?
I was middle of the mullet overall.
Nice.
Yeah. It was pretty cool. And let's see, for the ladies, I think I was 7th out of 22. So I was kind of middle of the mullet there too.
Dang.
Yeah.
So was it, was it hard?
It was not as hard as I anticipated. I did know that it was going to be, that the course was a little short. I knew that.
It was on a ski slope?
Yeah, it was on a ski slope. So I did a snowshoe race. It was at Shawnee Mountain Ski Resort. Uh-huh. And it was planned to be a 5K. But I knew the course was a little short. It is more like, I think I clocked in 2.2 miles or something like that. So it was straight up a mountain. And then you kind of hang a left, go down a smidge, maybe 50 feet, and then back up again to finish up the mountain and then all the way down the mountain. So 2.2 miles and like 900 feet again within those 2.2. And I finished in like 33 minutes. Nice. Yeah, so I felt super good about that. I kind of took the uphill easy and then just hammered the downhill. It was super fun.
That's awesome. I want to talk to you more about it in like 2.67 seconds, but I need you to back up real quick for me. Go ahead and make the sound.
Beep, beep, beep. Back it all up.
Yeah. For those of you that are tuned in right now live, we were planning on having a guest on tonight who had an emergency at the last minute. And Grace and I are doing a 360 about what we're going to talk about on tonight's show. So bear with us. We're still awesome. Grace is awesomer than me, but it's still going to be a good show. But I just wanted to update everybody on why the title was the way it was or way it is and why that guest isn't here. Hopefully we can have them on in the very near future to do the show again. But
can you repeat the part about me being awesomer than you?
That's a one-time only thing. Sorry. Oh. If you didn't catch it, it's never going to happen again.
Okay. So, yeah, we were going to have a gentleman on named Greg. Super excited for him. He just finished the Naked Bavarian 20-miler, which is called Naked Bavarian because it's just low cost. It's low frills. But great race in Pennsylvania, and he finished that. That was a distance PR for him. He did have an emergency come up. So we don't get to talk to Greg tonight, but that's okay. So we're going to update on all the things, and we still have lots of cool stuff to talk about. So
was the snowshoe thing, was it hard?
It was not harder than I anticipated. No. The uphill was a normal uphill, and I feel pretty comfortable in snowshoes. Like, I'm super excited for next year, because the ski season is almost over. Mountains are shutting down in the next couple of weeks, so I'm not really gonna get a lot of time to practice in snowshoes this year. So I'm super excited for next year to spend a little more time on the mountain in snowshoes, because they felt pretty comfortable. You know, they do take up more space, so your feet are kind of further apart, but I run with my feet far apart to begin with. So if you ever see photos of me, I run wide. I've always been a wide walker, a wide runner. It's just how my legs are set. And so it was pretty comfortable for me. I don't know if other people would say the same thing, but I'm new to all this. I'm still learning. So
now I'm assuming this was on a ski slope. So this snow was like groomed, right?
Yeah, this is groomed snow.
So you are actually running on top of the snow.
Yeah. And it was,
obviously snowshoeing is a little more difficult and requires more effort when you sink down into to natural snow, I think. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the whole point of snowshoes, to prevent you from going down as far as your foot would. But it was still just like the grip of the bottom of the snowshoe was gripping on the icy snow, I assume, right?
Yeah. There were some sections that were a little powdery, mm-hmm. A little fluffy. It got super cold that night before, so it had gotten down into the 20s after a few warm days. So it was really great snow to run on. So it was in the 20s, like mid 20s, but we still had a cloudless sky and the sun was hitting the slope. So it was a little powdery, but it had just been groomed like the night before. So it was flat and
nice. Good. Are there any other snowshoe races that are happening near you this year, this winter?
I don't know of any. From what I've seen, this is kind of the end of the season. This is pretty much it. I know our local mountain, which is Round Top. I love Round Top. They're so great over there. They are closing down, I think, the 15th or 16th. That's their last official day.
Cool. So are you going to keep, I guess you don't have much, you don't have any snow down there, do you?
No, we got nothing. Our mountain does. It's got, I don't want to say fake snow because it's not fake, but it's, you know, they make their own snow at right. The mountain. So they have snow on the mountain, but it's pretty icy.
That race was Saturday or Sunday?
That was Sunday. I did another race on Saturday. My friend Sherry, who's super awesome, I got to be on her podcast. She has a podcast called She's My Weirdo, and it is awesome if you're interested in listening. And so Sherry race directs the last race of the winter series. So I ran that. All of the winter series races have a 1 miler to start off with. So I ran a 1 mile race, which is very difficult. If you're me, because I don't do short races, and then a 5K, and I have not done a 5K in quite a while. So that was a challenge, but I did my fastest mile and my third fastest 5K. So that was good. Oh, and it is Sherry's birthday. Happy birthday, Sherry.
Happy birthday, Sherry.
Yay.
Yeah. It's been a long time since I ran a flattish 5K, like road 5K.
Yeah. It was a flattish one. I also have to shout out, I just saw my mom is in the chat and I want to say hi to my mom.
Well, that's amazing.
I know.
Hi, Mom.
She said that I'm always awesome, just so you know.
That's a lie. That's what moms have to say. It's in a contract.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, that sounds like a pretty good weekend.
Yeah, it was a good weekend. And we wrapped up the winter series. So the winter series is done, except for, you know, some emails and stuff like that. But we're done for the season. And so we move on to the next stuff. It was a big, busy weekend. How was your weekend?
My weekend was good. So I've had this, I'm training for a 24-hour track race, as you know, coming up in May. So I've been trying to do a lot of track stuff, kind of mentally get myself prepared for it best I can, because honestly, I think my mental game is going to be my biggest weakness over the physical part of it, at least as of right now. So I've been working hard at it and doing some track stuff. But this weekend, I planned for quite a few weeks to do a 6-hour run on the track, on a track. And I got sick last week, and it wasn't good. I didn't run at all last week and had no energy. But anyway, I kind of waited to the last minute. Kaylee ran with me on Saturday, but I told her, I said, well, let me see how Friday goes, and I'll decide from there if it's worth trying to do this. And, you know, I felt a little better Friday and woke up Saturday morning feeling like, kind of like my old self. So we did it, and we did good. I mean, she ran phenomenal. She got 42 miles in, I think, ran the 6 hours. I did 37 miles around the track, just over 5 hours. But it wasn't for me. The problem is I know it's because I was sick and my body wasn't recovered, is it wasn't the confidence booster that I needed for myself. Things didn't feel the way they should have, or the way I was hoping they would have right from the get-go. And I know why they felt that way, but it still doesn't matter. Like, you know how brains work. Anyway, so it was good. I got the miles in at a pace I should be comfortable with, and we move on from there. But yeah, it was a big day. I mean, I've never done anything near that far of a distance on a quarter mile loop.
That's insane.
It is insane. I can't believe I did it. I'm doing this stuff. But I will say the good part is it's actually more enjoyable than I ever would have thought it would be. There's some, you know, you literally can just leave your brain on the side of the track and just turns into kind of just, this is what your life is now. Yeah. As weird as that sounds, there's nothing to think about. It's just cruise control. So.
Yeah. I remember doing that at Wild Goose when we were in a tropical storm, and that's what we said out loud. We said, like, this is where I live now. I live in the woods and it rains all the time. And that's just like what you tell yourself to get through a very monotonous situation, I think.
Yep. So it was good. I mean, that's a lot of miles on flat, on my legs on flat like that I've never done. And they responded well, but I look forward to recovering from this sickness and getting back to 100%, because I definitely wasn't fully there on Saturday. And I paid for it, honestly, dearly Saturday after the run and Sunday. I wasn't trying to like run the sickness out of me or anything. I have a specific amount of time before this race and weekends that I'm available because of kids races and things like that. So it's kind of something I really, really want to try to fit in, but I think it kind of prevented my sickness from, it kind of put me back a little bit the past 2 days. Well, but we're good.
Yeah, and I think that's one of those things that you kind of say, like, okay, well, I got that over with, got it over with at a good time, better for it not to happen on race day.
Yeah. Yep. We're good. I'm going to keep moving forward and trust the process. And I'm very much looking forward to this 24-hour race in May. I don't know why I'm so excited about it, but it excites me.
Now, what are you doing for shoes?
I spent a lot of money on carbon plate Nikes.
Are you training in carbon plated? Because most people don't train in them, but they race in them. You're training.
No, all my miles are not going to be in them, but I'm using them enough.
Okay.
Yeah. I am going to have a couple pairs there. I don't know exactly what my plan is yet. I might roll for a while in normal people shoes and then throw them on to help with tired feet and legs. At the end, at last 6 hours or something like that. Don't really have it narrowed down yet, but I think it's advantageous to have them in my toolbox.
Yeah. A race like that, like, you may as well just bring the entire tool shed.
Yeah. Yep. But I mean, this type of race too, is there's no aid station stops. This is going to be 24 hours of moving. Is obviously I'm going to have to go to the bathroom and maybe change shoes, but the plan is to not have to stop because that's taking time away from mileage.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Chris said, do you break up the track into sections?
Yes, I'm going to. I mean, I didn't on Saturday, but you know, during the race, a good possibility that I'm going to be walk running to hold the pace that I want to. I'm going to try to be consistent with starting out at a pace that I'm going to end with, is my plan. I'm not trying to run until I start getting tired and then, you know, give it everything I got, even though I'm dead. I'm not going to try to start out slow and finish fast. I'm going to pick a pace and I'm going to stick with it the whole time. Mm. That pace, obviously, for the first many hours is going to feel pretty easy and slow for me. So the idea is to do, and this is, you know, what Kaylee has done in the past, and she's very good at this type of race. You know, literally stop running and walk for 10 yards to give your legs a break and to get that pace down to where it needs to be for your, you know, whatever quarter mile splits or mile splits. It doesn't matter. But yeah, I don't know. I don't break it down. For me, it's like the first 5 or 6 miles of running around the track are like, this is dumb, this is stupid. And then all that kind of melts away. And it's like I told you, it's like, well, this is it. And I mean, I have listened to music while I'm doing loops, and that actually helps me a lot. I enjoy it, but I don't know. Still learning. Definitely not. Don't know what I'm doing yet.
Okay. How long do you have?
It's May 10th or 11th or something like that.
Wait, that's going to be fun.
9 weeks or something, roughly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, you want to update?
On what?
Just an update.
Yeah.
So remember when we had Teddy on the show?
Yeah.
Teddy Fisher?
Yeah.
And he had that half marathon that he was training for. He trained for it for 8 months.
Yeah.
He finished his half marathon.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good job, Teddy.
He did. He raised over $6,000 for York County Park System.
Awesome.
Yeah. He was the biggest fundraiser there. And it looked like he had a super good time. And he even had family fly in to watch him finish.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wonder what's next for him.
I know. I'm super excited to see that. But I thought I would get everybody an update that we did have Teddy on the show. And he finished his race. Go, Teddy.
Yeah, I wonder if he eats breakfast now.
I know. I did talk to him briefly not too long ago. And he said he was getting better at eating, which was good.
Getting better. That means no, not really.
That's good.
Let's see. What else do we have here, Grace?
All the things. Do you have anything other races on your schedule before your track race?
Not before, no.
Okay.
I have track season started for me today for the girls, so... it's full track mode for us and them. That's my life right now, and training for that on the, obviously getting long runs in on the weekend.
What other What other training do you have? What other training do you have on the books to get ready for that race?
After Frozen Snot, my plan was to pretty much go flat. If that's what you're asking, like what kind of training?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For any specific workouts, like, do you have another like long track workout planned and ready to go?
I do now only because my brain isn't happy with Saturday. And I'm not letting that negatively affect my training. I know why I felt the way I did Saturday, but I still want to do a longer one. Not, it probably won't even be 6 hours, but I need to get back out there and do something a little longer than 20 or 22 for my own, for just for me. I don't know when that's going to happen, next couple weeks. But yeah, I'm doing speed work still. Whenever I get healthy again, I'll still be doing fast stuff. But
yeah,
most of my, I don't see why I shouldn't, if as long as the track isn't mentally breaking me, I don't see why I shouldn't keep spending time on it.
Yeah.
Honestly.
I think those confidence races are really, really helpful. And that was the purpose of a lot of my races this winter, is just preparing for World's End and building confidence.
Yeah, and that's what I'm trying to do here. Build my mental confidence up of that I can hold this pace that I'm thinking of for 24 hours. And so yeah, I want to get there. And I'm also, you know, Laurel Highlands is following that in June, I think. I'm running that. But I'm not really hitting too many hills right now. I don't think I need to. I think that's not that big of a problem, but I'm going to still throw in a couple here and there.
Yeah. I've always said, like, if you are training for hills, you can get away with speed work and that'll help you improve on your hills. And if you're training for flats, do speed work. And if you're like, basically you should do speed work no matter what you're training for.
I was going to say it, but because people have different views of that, then I'm not trying. My opinion is the same. I'm good at hills because I know how to do workouts on flat, but yeah, you can also get a lot better at hills by working on hills.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Hey, Eric, Greg was able to join.
Okay.
He's going to save this episode.
Do we have time for a whole interview or do
we have time? Yeah. Okay. Let's bring him on.
All right.
And then we don't have to talk about track workouts anymore. So we're going to bring on Greg. Greg just finished he did have an emergency. He was able to jump on. We'll find out what all that's about. So this is what happens when you have a live show. I love it. I love that we have a live show. And so Greg finished Naked Bavarian. He is gearing up for World's End 50K. And that's going to be his first ultra. And we're going to hear all about it because he posted something in the Idiot Runners page. And he was like, hey, guys, learning so much from all of you. This is awesome. And I was like, do you want to be on the show? And we'll talk about it. I thought we could collectively ask him some questions, maybe throw some unsolicited advice at him and see if he takes it or does not take the bait. Maybe we'll mix in all kinds of advice.
All right, we have a half hour. Bring him on, Grace.
All right. It looks like he's ready. Greg, thank you for joining. Greg,
hey, everybody. Hey, everybody. Can you hear me okay?
Yep, we can hear you.
Okay, awesome. I'm so sorry about the whirlwind. I totally missed the first half of the pod. Literally an ambulance just left my house. Everybody's okay. Father-in-law had a little scare, but we're good. And my wife wanted to say this. She wanted to say that she hates my running so much, she decided to poison her dad to try to spoil my podcast opportunity.
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, some of us have have a trail family who we substitute in when not everybody in the family shares our hobbies. I know my husband is one of them, and that's okay. We have other hobbies that we share, right?
Right.
So you just finished Naked Bavarian and you posted in the Idiot Runners group. So tell us about like where your head is at and all your feels and what's going on.
Okay. Well, that's a lot because I feel like that has changed every 30 minutes since the end of the Idiot Run, or since the end of the Bavarian race. I signed up for World's End this year, and that's what it's all been. Everything is leading and pointing to World's End. So Bavarian was on my calendar and has been for a while as a tune-up race to kind of check my training and to see what holes where there were. The race, I was so underprepared. just a little background on me. I'm new to this sport. This was the longest distance I had ever run. The longest prior to this was just a training run a couple weeks ago. Where I did a 25K, just kind of like at a neighborhood park, around the neighborhood. Awesome. And so I went in thinking that it's like, oh, you know, this elevation for Bavarian isn't going to be that crazy. It's not like World's End. I got plenty of time to prepare for that. It's just some rolling hills. And, you know, if I can do 16 miles, I can do 20, no problem. Yeah. Boy, was I wrong. The climbs completely wrecked me. I lost gas probably around mile 7 or mile 8, and it was a very, very challenging from that moment on through the race. I feel like we don't have enough time to go in through all the little nuances of the race because there was a lot. If I had to summarize it to a couple sentences, it's I was floored with the community feel of it, and I felt, even as someone who was, I finished fifth to last of the 20 miler groups, 7 hours on course almost. And it was that huge struggle, but I really, really felt welcomed in by the community, and stuff that I've been seeing and feeling just kind of in, as someone I was standing in the shadows, listening to your podcast, very religiously, so kind of lurking in, and I don't know, I felt really, really positive vibes. I met my trail angel. If she is somehow listening to this, her name was Lisa. I spent mile 3 through mile 18 with her, and I probably would have been on the course 8 hours or DNF. It wasn't for me encountering her. Little instances like that. Met a lot of people that I have seen on the pod, are people that you coach. So many World's End hats that I was like, I'm totally in the right place right now.
Yeah.
So there were some good takeaways from the race and there were some bad takeaways from the race. I'm excited to kind of dive into the community. I'm excited to, I don't know, I really feel like I'm kind of finding my place here. And then also it's like, wait a minute, what the hell did I sign up for? Like Worlds, I was getting wrecked by, you know, and then for those unfamiliar with the Bavarian course, I feel like the biggest climb is right around mile 10 and a half, mile 11. It was a 240-foot ascent, and according to Garmin, that was, what, like a quarter mile? I'm like, holy World's End, like, starts this steep and goes for 4 miles. How the hell am I going to do this for 4 miles straight and then do an additional 28? So I left the Bavarian race feeling really discouraged. Like, what am I doing? What am I, like, did I do this in vain? Am I absolutely crazy to think that I can do something this crazy? And I felt really discouraged, and I kind of woke up and I was lamenting to my family, to my wife, and I'm staying with my in-laws right now, kind of like on a little vacation. And everybody was like, but you just ran 20 miles, man. And I was like, nah, I kind of like limped in for 20 miles and I don't, you know. So yesterday was really, really discouraging. I felt at the bottom of it and I was ready to give it all up. And that's when I went to the Idiot group, which I've been lurking since January 5th. Thank you, Eric, for approving my membership. And I put that short little post on there, and the comments that came in from the people that I met, the people that saw me that I didn't even know before, and everybody that jumped in on that thread, and I pressed the like button or pressed heart and jumped in with training advice or jumped in with like, hey man, like we've all been there. It turned things around and it was really uplifting for me. And as the day unfolded, I was like, oh my gosh, showing to my wife. I'm like, look how everyone's jumping on this. Like, is this like going viral right now? Like these people that I've just sort of like stepped back and think I'll never be like them. They're all jumping in and they're all like welcoming me and telling me that, yeah, man, just put in the work and you can do it. And it, in like a 24-hour time span, everything completely spun around. And it's funny because then at almost exactly 24 hours after my finish, that's when I got Grace's message on like, hey man, you want to come on the pod? And I was like, are you joking me? Like, you're like, you guys are like celebrities to me. So I was like, of course I want to come on the pod. Cool. And I don't know. That's,
you're giving me goosebumps, man. I love that story. Like that, this is why I love that group and our group and the trail running community. Like you've instantly gotten it. You don't even need to, like, it'll be like that at every race you go to and everything. It's just, it's phenomenal. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot to unpack here. I'm really excited. Thanks for sharing all of that and sharing your excitement. Because a couple of things, for those of us who've been in the trail community for a while, like, oh man, we remember what it was like. And this is why we're still here. Like, this is why we're obsessed. And then for anybody who is lurking in the shadows, and you know, if you want to be a lurker in the shadows, totally cool. Like, you can be a lurker, but I think also don't be afraid to come out of those shadows and come to one of these races or share your successes or share your struggles, because there's probably other people who are feeling the same thing and you are not alone. There's somebody else out there who's feeling the exact same thing. And so I appreciate you sharing that, because I hear this story all the time. One of the biggest things that I hear from people who are new to group runs, new to trail running, they always say, I wish I would have joined in sooner. I saw the group runs for 2 years and never joined in. I wish I would have just done it. And so I love hearing your story, because I hope you inspire other people to just like jump in, because it's fine. Water's fine.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. What's up?
I want to back up real quick. We don't have to spend much time on it, but what made you decide to get into this running silliness?
Sure. Yeah, in the spirit of time, I'll try to keep this concise and kind of to the point here. But about a year and a half ago or so, I was at kind of a rock bottom with some mentals and physical health. I was 340 pounds. Mm-hmm. I couldn't, you know, really walk upstairs without getting winded. An example I said from today was, I was sitting on my office chair at work and chair hydraulics give out. You know, and it's like, it came to a real rock bottom point where it's like, am I going to ask my HR person for a special fat guy chair, or am I going to do something to change my entire life right now and kind of course correct this? And that was a year and a half ago. How to connect the dots really quick from that moment to trail running. About 9 years ago, I did a Tough Mudder event with my sister and brother, you know, and 9 years ago, that was a totally different Greg. And I went back to that, and I was thinking, you know what? Like, what if I signed up for a Tough Mudder right now? Like, what if I did 10 miles in the freaking mud? And at my health state at that time, there was no chance I could have done it. But I bought the ticket and I put it on the calendar, and that was the Philly event in Coatesville. So it gave me about, I don't know, from December to May to get in. I started a couch to 10K, and then I went from there. And it's like, did the couch to 10K. My sister ended up, she was someone that I did the event with that 8-9 years ago. She, in the spirit of supporting me, met me in Philly, flew from across the country, did the Tough Mudder with me. And I was like, I'm like back, we're doing something here. And how I found trail running, I need you to believe me this. It was you guys. It was this podcast. And let me tell you how. This is a real story. It was Eric and Gracie on how I found and was interested before I even knew that ultra was even a thing. After I was done with Tough Mudder, that's where my mind was. So I just immersed myself with Tough Mudder podcast. There's a guy by the name of Will Hicks who does a podcast for the world's toughest mudder. And he has a ton of backlogged episodes that I just binged on. And I binged and binged and binged about all these interviews with these endurance athletes that were doing the world's toughest mudder event, which is a 24-hour course. I'm sure all you guys know. And then I kind of ran out of content. I was like, well, there's no more World's Toughest Mudder podcast for me. So that's when I proceeded to look at Spartan Ultra, and I listened to one of those, and I'm like, well, you know, Tough Mudder to Spartan, I don't know, Spartan's for me. And then I just typed in Pennsylvania Ultra and the algorithm gave me you guys. And that weekend was the pre-game to World's End with Ben Mazur. And that's when I saw these people that I never met before from PA that get to eat cheesesteaks and pie and then run 61 miles in the mountains the following day. And I'm like, what is this community? What is this event? Now I'm hitting up Google, checking out what World's End is, and I'm seeing the elevation. I'm thinking, like, this is insane. This is batshit crazy. And then what happened? And then that ended up being the first of, like, three mega month of World's End episodes for you guys and your pod. Yeah. So then, you know, then I got to hear from Trevor. And, you know, names will escape me, I'm sorry. But I got to hear from Trevor. Congratulations on your new baby I saw on Strava today. And I got to, yeah, right? And I got to hear from the other people you talked to, and then your following episode with the comeback kids and everything like that. And I was like, World's End Ultra Marathon in Sullivan County is a big freaking deal. And I am going to, you know, let's say December. All right, we're going to think about this right now. And then it progressed from there. I tuned in every Tuesday morning on my way to work. So, you know, Monday nights are tight for me, so I'm not usually logging on live, but I listen to you folks every Tuesday morning, listen to some of the other Ultra pods that are out there that have some bigger names and sponsorships that I don't prefer as much as the kind of ground to earth community feel that you folks foster with the Idiot Running community. And it kind of went from there. I signed up for the Philly Half Marathon and did that at my turtle pace in February, in November. And that was a blast. A week after the Philly Half Marathon, World's End registration was up, got my ticket in 30 seconds. Yes. And right. That brought me to here. Got a training plan in order, started to work. The winter wrecked me in terms of sinus infections and winter weather. That's tale as old as time on how any of us can't get out to train in the winter. I used a lot of excuses not to get out and not to be really consistent over the last like 8 weeks or so. And I really felt that this week at the Bavarian. It's like, wait a minute, if I am going to be serious about this, I'm going to need to change my training now because I have not put in the elevation that I need. I haven't been putting in the time on feet that I need. And I've been skipping long runs, and that all of those can't continue if I'm going to be successful with you folks cheering on in May.
Yeah. Hey, at least you know that. That's the first
step. Yeah. And just to circle back on my weight loss before the next thing, I'm currently at 265 pounds. So we've lost a considerable amount and things are going great with there. And we're in the middle of transforming into a brand new Greg. And thank you for letting me hop on this journey because it's helping me. You folks are helping me. Yeah.
Thanks for sharing everything. You lost a small child. So I appreciate you sharing all that. Please don't give Eric a big head.
I'm just blown away at that story. He's the first person that said they got into trail running because of our podcast. I mean, come on, it's kind of big.
Love it.
You guys have worked really hard on the algorithms, as Grace says time and time again. It worked on me. They found me.
That's phenomenal. And definitely don't. You got to let go of this past weekend run and just center your attention on World's End at this point. Don't have any more doubts than you had before that you can finish. You will finish. Like you said, you know what you got to do. Time to make the time and start doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're going to be fine. And yesterday was cold too. That snap that came back after a few warm days, it surprisingly hurts. There were a lot of things with yesterday. You have you got plenty of time. You can put in the work. You got that little reality check now that this is a big race, but you're serious about it, and so you're gonna get it done. It's gonna be great, and you're gonna have so many people cheering you on along the way. Like that's gonna be the best.
Okay. Yeah, I'll be Grace. Are you going to World's End this year?
Yes, she's making it. She's
I'm not thinking yet. Just let me. My brain wasn't there yet. I was just thinking that I was going because we always go and crew and help out.
I'm gonna be a little busy.
I guess you'll be there, Grace. Oh, anyway, if I don't meet you in person before then, Greg, make sure we say hi when. at the pre-race check-in or right before the start.
Yeah, which I mean, I think I've probably talked about this on the podcast before. World's End was, it was the second ultra that I ever went to. Like, no, it might have been the third. But anyway, it was one of the first ultras that I went to by myself. It was just me. I did not know anybody. I was supposed to go with a friend. The friend couldn't go. And so I drove the 3 hours by myself, got a hotel the night before, went there by myself, and just felt all the love from the trail community. And it was a pivotal moment for me, for sure. And it was a long day. It was a really long day when you're in the back of the pack, but I got it done. And those aid stations, they just can't be beat. They're such a supportive group of folks, and you don't have to know anybody, and they're going to love you anyway. So Chris Young, we'll see. Chris, are you going to World's End? Chris, he asked in the chat, what encouragement do you look forward to on trail?
I think I just look for, I don't know, you know, what encourages me on the trail, what keeps me going on the trail. Like, yeah. I like feeling like I'm crushing it. I feel like my training runs have been better. If I feel great, if I did everything I was supposed to do, did I do my speed work that week? Am I nourished okay? Did I not fumble with the tailwind in my soft flask and then I get the electrolytes I need? When things fall in line and I'm feeling like I'm feeling accomplished, I feel like that's the most motivating, to just keep it going. You know, just that it's like I can almost see what I look like on the outside with the sun glistening on the Gooder sunglasses and the sweat dripping down. And I'm like, I feel like a badass right now.
Yeah, conversely,
you know, when, yeah. I did not have that experience this weekend with Bavarian, but that's, I'm really going to focus on the lessons learned from it to try to do what I can to get that experience.
Yeah, those are the races where you really, I think, learn the most, and you end up not going into the next race overconfident. And it might have been what you needed right now, you know? Like, maybe not what you wanted, but it might have been like, I kind of needed that. And you just ran a 20-miler. Like, I mean, that's and you were out there for 7 hours. And that's just, it's not something to put off to the side. I say time on feet, getting out there. Once you get past the four-hour mark, you get past 4 hours, you start to figure out, like, oh, these are things that I actually have to deal with and I should have dealt with 4 hours ago at the start line. Like, that's when things can start to actually go wrong. When you start getting past the 4 hour mark, when you get past the 8 hour mark, it's really time on feet where you learn a lot about gear and nutrition and those things that can take you out, I think, late in a race, you know? So yeah. I'm excited that you went, you were out there for 7 hours and you had to push through the hard stuff, push through the mentally hard stuff, and you still did it. So that's just huge. Like, you finished. That's incredible. I don't know. I'm excited for you. I think it was a good run, but you had a lot of great comments and a lot of great encouragement on that thread. Was there anything within that thread that you said, like, oh, I yes. need to do that different.
This yes, is there absolutely I- was. Let me pull it up because I definitely want to say. I want to give a shout out to a fellow idiot runner that I met at the finish line, Emily, who I hear has a really cool coach that's super badass. It wasn't just what she put in the thread, but it was also my interaction with her at the finish line too. Like, this amazing lightning fast woman who had the most positive energy on the course, just like lapped me doing 40 miles finished. And her energy, she actually, I saw her once on the course. I saw her before the race started. And then I got to catch her one more time as she was going to the finish line. And we were literally like, we were on that pavement road. You could see the finish line. You just had to go up and make that left at the cone. And she was running past me and she looked over to me and she was just like, you're killing it. And, you know, I forget what I said back, but it was just like you just lapped me and you're like a beast. Like, how can I be like you? And I just remember her comments too. And then, so what stood out to me when she followed up in the thread was, we've all been there. And then that resonated a lot. And it wasn't just Emily that had those notions too. A lot of people were like, we've been there, we've been there, we've been there. That resonated because here I've been lurking in the shadows, looking at all of these just idiot beasts, thinking like they're in a different league than me. And now here they are just, you know, eating this grilled cheese and potato soup in front of me saying, I was just like you, welcome, you know? And that was huge. It's like, this sport is so accessible, and it doesn't matter if you're at the front or the back, it's everybody's on the same field and everybody supports one another. So I kind of left the interactions in the thread, that conversation with Emily, and all of the other interactions with folks that I came into, that was some takeaway for me.
Ah, that's great. And I think that's something that I did not expect pretty early on, was how incredibly supportive the front of the pack is. Like, you don't expect that when you come into it, especially when you come in from, when you come into it, not just as a new runner, but a new runner in the back of the pack, you're like, oh my gosh, these people at the front of the pack, like, they're just going to be like, what is she doing here? You know, she got no business coming to this start line. And not only are people at the front of the pack incredibly like inviting and welcoming and encouraging and amazing, and you know, I've seen Eric stay to the very end to watch the last runners come in. They all do it, and the middle of the pack and the back of the pack. It's basically, if you've been around for a little bit, you learn pretty quickly that no, this is a community where we all support each other and nobody's here to tear you down. The only time I've ever seen that is usually when it's a new runner who's new to the community and doesn't understand that this is just how we all are. And it's usually people at the back of the pack who just, you know, they did a, you know, maybe they did a Tough Mudder or something like that, or a local 5K, and then they joined in on a trail race, and they just, they're not there yet, which is fine. But I didn't anticipate that. But the front of the, like, honestly, anybody who's lurking in the shadows, nobody's going to judge you. They're just going to be so excited to see you, and they're going to cheer you on, even if you DNF. Like, I don't know. Good on you for coming to the start line. That's totally cool, you know?
Yeah.
Kaylee put into the chat, golden hour is fun for reels, and the golden hour is the last hour of any ultra race when your last finishers are coming in. And those are the people who have been out on the course the longest. They are fighting for survival, and watching them come in sometimes with tears of joy is just a really exciting moment. So yeah, it is something to be proud of to come in the golden hour, knowing that you pushed through and DFL, you didn't get DFL this time, but that's okay. Yeah. Maybe you'll one day.
Yes. And on that note too, Grace, knowing your world's end history on the golden hour thing, what I'm putting out into the universe and what I'm envisioning right now is me sitting on a camping chair somewhere between 11 PM and 12 PM and you crossing that line and me being one of the hundreds of people clapping for you. That's going to happen. Yeah.
Ah, that just tears me up right there, buddy.
It's going to happen, because if I can get there, you can. You're like, you guys are like my heroes in this whole sport. So like, you guys can do anything. So it's going to happen, and we're all going to happen. And yeah, it's going to be great.
It's going to be a good day, huh?
Yeah. I got to put in the work. We got to, you know, we're going to put in the work, and then we're going to try our best on race day. That's what's going to happen. So what are some things that you are planning to kind of do differently in these next few weeks? You said one of the things was getting in your long runs, which I agree is really important, and practicing your fueling, right? Practice your fueling on your long runs. Yes.
Yes. No, I say yes with a shrug there, because I feel okay about fueling right now. If that's what started this all, is I definitely know how to eat. So that is, that's been going well. I think my primary focus in shifting what my training right now needs to be the vertical. I need to get more hills. I am ashamed of my Strava right now. Please unfollow me, because then you'll see what I'm calling hill runs are bunny slopes that are not doing anything to increase my vertical gain endurance. So that's what I immediately want to change, is I want to start getting into my speed and tempo work. A, do it, you know. B, I need to climb, and I need to climb a lot. And that's what I need to focus on. I'm good. I feel good with food. I feel good with time, you know, like time on feet. I feel great. Yes, I was there 7 hours, but I was at a steady 160, 170 heart rate. So I felt good. If there was a drop bag to swap me out and give me more gels and tailwind than I had, I felt like I could have kept going and kept limping.
Nice.
But I just, my quads just didn't want me to, like, I couldn't take, climb one step at the end of the race. So I need to build the vertical endurance and I need to build the climbing strength.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think part of climbing is confidence. It's looking at a hill and being like, oh, I could totally climb that, you know? And it's just like doing the same hill so many times that it just becomes like, no, I can totally get to the top of that. Give me enough time, but I can get to the top of it. And sometimes it's slowing down a little bit on the hills. So you can, you know, bring that heart rate down a little bit and feel comfortable on it. But I think a lot of hill work is just getting comfy, cozy, and confident. What do you think, Eric?
I think he's right, hits nail on the head that he needs to find some hills and get working on them, whether you're power hiking them or running them. But yeah, you're in Delaware, right?
Yes. Yeah, I'm in Delaware. I think the closest course mount to me that models World End would be Brandywine State Creek Park. Yeah. There's some good loops on there that kind of loop in and go all the way up to Pennsylvania and back. And the vertical matches, mm-hmm. I don't think it's as steep as some of the world segments, but the time going up, up, up is there if I'm able to make it out to Brandywine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna try to do the Philly 26.2 trail marathon at Wissahickon Park on April 12th. That's my next like accountability race.
Yeah. Okay.
Don't discount. You definitely want to do some downhill pounding of your quads also.
Yep.
You want to get good at climbing as best you can, but you also have to get used to it, you know, going running down a hill and that force on your quads.
I think another thing with World's End is it's far more technical than what you have out there. So you really got to pick up your feet. And one thing that can be helpful in, are you doing any strength training?
No, I need to be, I know what strength training I probably should be doing, but yes. Let's say I am. Go ahead.
We'll say that. No, with on your leg day that you definitely already have in your training plan, I would make sure that there's some, yes, right there. I would make sure there's some psoas work. I think it's one of those muscles that is often overlooked in a trail runner's strength training plan. You know, we know we have to work the quads, we know we have to work the glutes, the hamstrings, like those should already be in there, but the psoas can really help with your technical training runs. So it's basically that marching movement and making it weighted. So there's a lot of different ways you can accomplish that. But one of them is, you know, just as an example, is laying down next to a cable machine and just hooking your foot onto a cable machine and pulling that weight toward you, or putting a weight on your foot, like a kettlebell on your foot, and then just bringing your knee up over and over like you're marching. But that, it really forces you to work the muscle that lifts your leg so that you can, because you're not just getting vertical, you're also picking your foot up and over technical rocks. And so that psoas can get worn out really easily. And then you're putting more pressure on the quad, and the quad is doing all of the work instead of working together with the psoas. So I would just throw that in there, that don't forget that World's End, not only does it have vertical, there's also a very technical course, more technical than Brandywine. Yeah. What do you
think? My takeaway there is my takeaway I'm thinking of now is I need to work out to fill the gaps that I'm not going to get on the hills by my office or Brandywine, or I have a bunny slope at a park next to my house too.
Nice. Yeah. And like stairs are great because you have to pick up your foot. you're not just moving on a slope and kind of shuffling on a slope, but you actually have to pick up your foot. So stair climber or just up and down stairs, I think are a great workout.
If anyone has ideas for me in the Delaware area, I'm in the northern part of Delaware where I could jump on a stadium for stadium climbs. I don't know where I can go, but you know, feel free to message me later, guys, if you guys have any suggestions with that.
I'll comment on something. You should talk to Jake Landon because he lives in your area. And he can give you suggestions. Jake knows every trail in there. He's commented on the show before.
Okay. All right, we got to start finishing her up, guys.
I have so many more questions.
It's fine. Okay. We can chat in person in May.
Yeah.
Well, Greg, I certainly am glad you found this community and found the group, and I'm excited to see what you do at World's End. I have no doubt you'll do just fine. Don't worry about filling every second of your free time with training. It's just, you know, focus on what you can and go from there.
Thank you. Yeah. Sorry about, I had some weird circumstances tonight and I really apologize for having to jump on late. But as soon as things settled out, my wife was like, "Go log on with them." And I'm like, she knew how important this was to me. And I'm just really grateful that I got this chance. And I'm super appreciative of you folks reaching out. And I said to both of you individually, and I'll say in front of God and everybody, like, really thank you for this community you helped foster. And thank you to everybody that's a part of it, that jumped in, that gave me a smile, said hello, and, you know, gave me positive and pumped their fists at me in the trail. And there's just so much of that going on. So I feel the love, and I'm just, there's a lot of humble gratitude on my end. And I look forward to getting to know more of you guys and getting to see you more.
Ah, for sure.
It just warms my heart. You just filled up that cup. I love it. Good. Thank you so much, Greg. Thanks for coming on. Good. Thanks for sharing the love. Everybody's going to be cheering you on come World's End, probably also for other races. We can't wait to see you on the course. Training's going to go awesome. Everything's going to go awesome. Everything's good.
Yep.
Eric.
Awesome.
Take us out, Grace.
Oh, my gosh. You guys are so great. Thanks for listening to us talking about stuff, and thanks for tuning in. This turned into one of the greatest episodes ever. I'm super excited. I'm also excited that we didn't have to hear too much more about track running, although I'm super curious and I can't wait to put myself through some misery like that. Thanks for everybody for tuning in. We're tuning in any Monday, 7:30 p.m. live to join us in the chat. And then you can also find us on all the podcast platforms, on the iTunes and the Spotify's and all the other ones too, Podcast Addict, and do some likes and some sharing and some comments so you can help with the algorithms and help more Gregs. We can find more Gregs and we can just fill ourselves up with some Gregs.
That's right.
Awesome. Thanks to your wife too, Greg, for encouraging you to come on the show.
Everything thanks to her. I'm telling you, all of it. Yes. She's a saint. Yes. My real trail angel. Love her and thank you.
Absolutely. All right. Thanks everybody for tuning in. Eric, you ready for me to take him out?
Take us out, Grace.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.